Everybody awake!
To the role, different players, different strokes.
But let me tell you about one thing I know. Everybody's gotta see the soul. Let your heart of hearts take you down the road. Everybody's gotta see the soul.
Good morning, everybody. Mike Rayleigh here with the Weekend Gardener. Brother Rufus over there is singing to the song.
Sing, sing, sing.
You know, yes. Miss Ann, you sing to that too, and we can all credit Irv Evans for picking that tune 40 years
ago.
Well,
we can credit you with having next weekend, as I recall, is your 50th anniversary with WPTF.
No,
is that correct?
50th wedding anniversary. My 50th anniversary was the 25th of April.
All right.
Oh, you're getting things mixed up, and so am I. I just everything's falling in at the same time. It's been in kind of an exhausting year so far.
Oh yes. Oh yes.
Yeah, 50th wedding anniversary. But Melissa and I were married twice. We eloped, and then we kept that a secret for 40 some years.
I've been trying to figure out how you pull that off without people saying,
I know.
Well, you two were living in sin.
Well, we didn't live together for a while there because Melissa was in Selma and I was, she was, Johnston County is a teacher and I was in Raleigh. So we finally, we waited and got married with a big wedding up at the Reeves Farm and in 1979. So 75 was really the year we got married.
Out there with all those dairy cows?
Yeah, they were out there too. They didn't line up or anything, but it sure was gorgeous.
Michael, were they Holsteins? I never asked you. Or what kind
yes,
of milk
they cow? Were. They were Holsteins.
Yes.
Yeah. Longmeadow and then Flavor Ridge. And Mr. Reeves was the chairman of the Longmeadow. They were co-ops, but he, as a dairy farmer, was was in charge of it, basically, as the chairman of the board. He was also chairman of the board of Flavor Ridge, which covered several states they bought out Longmeadow. So he was quite a man. He would have made a good governor. He was a lot of common sense. I had an engineering degree, and he invented things on the farm. NC State would come out and bring classes to his dairy farm. It's a beautiful place. I don't know how we kept it a secret. We waited until after Melissa's mother was the last to go of our parents, and then we told everybody. So you either know you could trust us with a secret, or you can't trust us.
I'm thinking
with anything.
That is a good game show. For some reason, I don't know. You're keeping it.
I don't know which category it would come under, but it is a unique story that we've somehow hung in there all these years, despite this job. Which I normally get up at 3 o'clock in the morning. I woke up at 3:30 this morning in a panic, looked at the clock, and said, oh, my God, I'm going to be late for work. And I said, well, it's Saturday. Dummy. That's the way it is. We have two great guests on, and I haven't seen them in a long time. And we haven't talked to one of them in a long time, Andrea Lane, who was a Mitchell County Master Gardener, was a Durham County Master Gardener. In the mountains, suffered through Helene. Good morning, Andrea.
Good
Good morning.
I am so glad to talk to you. We both are.
It has been a year. I looked in my calendar, and it has been a year since I've been on the show.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
that's not right. That's not right at all. And
well, you know, things were not normal here for a long time.
I'm sure they weren't. And they weren't for Craig LaHoulier, who is our other mountain guest on the phone this morning. Craig, I enjoyed the photos you sent of your garden this morning.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. It's been a time, and it's been a long time, so really glad to be back. Hope everybody's well.
Craig, how are things pretty much back to normal there? I don't see how possible, but I'm sure roads are still an issue and things. But how are things in Hendersonville?
Things are better. You go out to the grocery or go out hiking, you still see big piles of wood everywhere. But you know, people are living their life and they get through things here. And, you know, it's another gardening year. It's the summer. Strawberries and asparagus are done, but now we're waiting for blueberries and blackberries. So we mark our time with our produce, it seems.
And I saw all of your tomatoes. We're going to talk about those here in a minute. Andrea, you live at higher elevation than
yes.
Craig, and more of a desolate area. You're close to Bakersville,
we prefer to call it rural.
Rural. Okay.
But yes,
rural.
Actually, my county, Mitchell County, and the neighboring Yancey County were the two hardest hit.
Of course.
In the hurricane.
Yeah.
So, due to the topography.
Yeah.
And Mount Mitchell, which you always ask me about, is still closed since the storm.
Oh, no.
So they suffered a lot of damage. Yeah.
That's such a shame.
Like 106, I think it was 106 mile wind gust on Mount Mitchell. So.
Goodness. Well.
Yeah.
So what were the biggest problems? I guess lack of electricity and therefore water. In a way.
Yeah. Well, you know, we have a spring that feeds our house. So we actually were living large during the hurricane.
How about that?
We had clean, and our spring wasn't damaged. I didn't learn until much later that a lot of folks' spring got damaged because with all of these, you know, big fallen trees, you know, some of them disturbed the source of the spring. And so people like that lost water. One woman I know still is, she lost her spring, and there's a 2-year wait to, like, dig a well.
Oh, my goodness. Well,
to get permitting for digging a well.
I'm glad you had that. And did you have landslides on your property and things like that?
We did. I've since, there's about 2,000 landslides across the area. We had, smaller ones in our backyard, thankfully. More like debris flows, I guess they call them. But, you know, scary just the same to suddenly see 5 feet of mud in your backyard.
Oh, my gosh.
which was there for a while because, you know, it's hard to find somebody to remove 5 feet of mud in your backyard when everyone needs it. You know?
That's true.
So,
wow.
Yeah, so we had that. But our biggest issue was that our road washed out. So our road is a mountain road. It's unpaved. And it literally became the river, or a river. So we didn't even get down the mountain, off our road. We could sort of hike around and we eventually, you know, we get to a neighbor's house. We saw neighbors, of course, but, you know, it was 9 days before we could get down and borrow a car from a neighbor and actually go into town and, you know, make phone calls and connect with our families and friends.
Good
and
gracious.
Like that. So that was the worst part. And our road just got repaired last week.
Oh, well, there should have been. I'm sure there was a celebration.
I know. I feel like having a party because I haven't wanted
That's
anyone.
A great I mean, idea. I think you
we've
should.
We've been able to go in and out. Don't get me wrong. We were able to go in and out since November. But
yeah.
It's been at various states of, you know,
right.
of getting fixed. Things. We're making progress. We're, there's all around. It's slow because it large, but you know the work is large, but we're making progress. Things are moving forward.
So, Craig, tomato season is really starting to crank up. I'm seeing some pretty tomatoes on the vine. And how are yours? I love the picture of them. You've got quite a few.
Yeah, I've got, I think, somewhere around 40 plants growing this year. I'm trying sweet corn in straw bales for the first time, and it's 3 feet tall right now. Summer squash, beans. You know, I have to quickly talk about a dog ate my homework story with regards to Rufus's two named tomatoes, Rufus Rainbow and Rufus Red Stripe. A mouse got into my seed supply this winter and went through about 3 dozen packets, and it ate all but one seed of each of the Rufus tomatoes.
Well, I'm anxious to hear about, did the one seed survive and turn into a plant?
I am growing them this year, and my plan is, once they start having some tomatoes on them, I'd like to get a couple each that are maybe half ripe and make sure I know where you are and send them to you so you actually get to taste them, and then I'll be saving plenty of seeds. I can send you some next year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, if your ears are burning, it's because I do this thing every day now called Daily Garden Minute, where I just focus on one thing in the garden for 1 minute on Instagram, and then I post it. And so the Rufus tomatoes come up about every 2 or 3 weeks. So you're prominent on my internet feed.
I love it. Well, I have a Rufus tomato from Gerald.
Okay.
And we
competing
just
tomatoes.
It just doesn't know. We don't know yet what it's going to do. It's a striped one, and I have something from cousin Gladys from Johnson City, Tennessee, and they already, Craig, are as big as a softball.
Wow! So,
and
wow.
All I know is that the Gladys tomato, cousin Gladys, she died of cancer, and it's in her memory. And I've got them. Got them in pots, and they're going for the heavens.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, do you ever top tomatoes?
I now top them when they get to the top of the support that I use. So if I've got a 6-foot stake, I just clip the growing stems when they reach the top of 6 feet. This is something I've been doing maybe for the last 5 years because in Raleigh I snapped off so many stakes. The plants go up, they get heavy, they hang over, and then we get those big thunderstorms, and it just pushes everything over.
Well, you've given me permission now to do that.
Tomato plants they can be so abused in terms of suckers and topping and pruning and controlling. The only thing that really gets them are diseases. But other than that, and, you know, the other thing that's affected our gardening is our grandson, Sue and I, are watching Eli Monday through Friday from 6:30 in the morning till 6 p.m.
Oh, wow. So you got a daycare there, too. How about that? Well, that's an adventure in itself.
Yeah, we don't want them, you know, they're both working new full-time jobs. And we think it would be kind of awful for them to be spending all that money on daycare and having him somewhere where he's not loved. So we are having the time of our life with the little guy.
So he's learning a lot. So we're gonna take a break and be back and get more of the adventures of Craig LaHoulier and Andrea Lane. Straight ahead here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. It's 8:21. We're back on WPTF, the Weekend Gardener, and Craig LaHoulier and Andrea Lane are with us. So, Andrea, what are the master? Were you able to get the master gardeners back together and everything in Mitchell County? Or
eventually, we started anew this year.
Good.
Yeah. And our festivals are, you know, our festival season is is up and running. I have to say the county kind of pulled together pretty well. They lost a big, they lost a tourist season last fall. So, we rely on the Tow River Art Studio Tour brings in a lot of people. The Rhododendron Festival, of course, that had already happened. But this year, it's going to happen again, but it can't happen in the same place because the park is still a mess.
That's something I've always thought of. You have two of our wonderful experts who were from the lowlands move to the mountains.
Yes.
Both Craig and Andrea. But by the way, Boone, my hometown, was not hit nearly as badly as your area and Craig's area.
I had heard that.
And you drive up 421 and you go in, you rarely see anything. There were some coves in different places that were hit pretty hard, but nowhere near like Mitchell and Avery.
Right. Well, the thing had to run over some of those mountains before it started losing a little steam, but it still took a while. I mean, they had a mess in Virginia and West Virginia too, but certainly not in the scale of southwestern North Carolina.
Yeah, where I can sense it's really taken its toll is people are nervous now, and with the beginning of hurricane season for 2025. Many people have said to me, I'm really nervous about it. And, last year should have been a 1 in 100 year. It's kind of like the Hurricane Fran scenario, an internal hurricane. But there's going to be a lot of nervous people watching tropical season this year in this area just because of what they went through last year.
Yeah, and it's something they've never done before. That's one reason they moved to the mountains.
Yeah.
Yes. The morning after when we were walking our lands, one of the first things I said to myself was like, okay, well, thankfully this is a 1,000-year thing. Like, I don't have to do this again.
Well,
like
it may well be, and I hope it is.
But we still, now I have, so to give you some perspective, my mountain that goes up, behind my house is a 70% grade, and now it has no vegetation on it. So every time it rains, like we got 1 inch in the last 12 hours, more of that mud slides down. Now I have I don't have a sudden debris flow. I have a gradual debris flow. So, and yes, of course, we've tried to plant things up, but 70%, it's tough.
Yeah, if the ground is still moving, it's kind of hard to plant anything to hold it.
I've thrown a lot of seeds.
Yeah. Well, if you get daylilies growing up there, that might work.
Mike, we have talked about daylilies a number of times, and I just before the hurricane, I moved a bunch of daylilies up to my hill because they do grow very well on hills, and they grow very well
in
this area.
Yeah.
And friends had given me their daylilies, and I threw them all up on the hill. Again, not easy to do, but I did it.
We got a little less than a minute.
Out of the hurricane.
We got a little less than a minute before the news. Craig, it looks like you're growing a lot of things out there from the photos.
Just one more quick thing in the storm. We're avid hikers and wildflower seekers, and we've been wondering how Helene is going to change the populations of wildflowers because it's opened up some canopies. It's stripped some land. So I think there'll be a lot of people studying in this whole area of Western North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
The effects on the flora and the fauna, the bears, the deer, everything.
We'll talk more with Craig LaHoulier and Andrea Lane coming up here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. Back on WPTF at 8:33, Andrea Lane and Craig LaHoulier are with us this morning here on the WPTF Weekend Gardener. And we have Dan on the line with us. Dan, good morning.
Morning, Mike. How are you folks doing?
Fine. I think we're all doing pretty well.
Good to hear all of you. And great to hear our mountain folks are surviving out there. sorry to have all that damage they had to deal with.
I know. It's an ongoing thing. How can we help you this morning, Dan?
Yeah, I have a question about my cucumber vines, similar to one that Craig was mentioning about tomato vines. My cucumber vines are running all over top of, or starting to run over top of my pepper plants, and I want to know if I can cut those tips off and cut off their running.
Yeah, I don't think the cucumber plant will mind that at all. You may affect the potential production of the plant, but only by what those vines would have done. So I'd say just redirect them or give them a little snip, but you want to keep the sun shining on the pepper plant, and I think you'll be fine.
Yeah.
That sounds great. I appreciate that. That makes a world of difference.
Are you growing any tomatoes, Dan?
Yeah, that's why Craig answered my first question, because I was going to go from one to the other. But
all right.
Yeah, my tomato plants were same thing, but running. My cages are about 5 feet up, and then, but the plants are now about 7 feet. So he had already answered that question. Yep. On the tomato plants, I was having the same issue.
Yeah, except he gave his permission, Dan.
What varieties are you growing, Dan?
Oh gosh, I've got Better Boys. I got a couple from Gerald. I don't know. One was had the same name as my mother's. Her name, Mariana.
Huh.
Mariana's Peace, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then the other was a beefsteak.
Yeah. They're all very vigorous, tall-growing plants, all of those varieties. So let them spread a little bit in those cages, but certainly it's fine to top them once they start getting out of control at the top.
Well, that's so hard to do. That's easier said when you see those blossoms up there. And you say, oh, my gosh, there I'm cutting off my tomatoes. But
I know.
Yeah, Rufus is right. Usually it's like, oh, my gosh.
It takes a lot of discipline, but what you got to think about is some of those taller flowers, they're probably not going to set fruit because they're going to be, you're going to start getting into the 90s there. And those large tomatoes like beefsteak, Mariana's Peace, they'll drop blossoms when you start having extensive periods in the 90s. So keep the plants healthy, and then later on in the summer, they'll be setting more flowers and setting more tomatoes. So you can kind of compensate for that blossom drop when it gets really hot.
That's great. I appreciate you'd already hit that one, but thank you for letting me know about going ahead and top those off.
It's a nice morning to do that, I suppose. It's a little humid out there, but I'd go ahead. We're going to have some rain this afternoon, they say.
Well, I'd rather do it in the heat than the rain.
Yeah, definitely you don't want to do it in the rain.
Well, let me tell you all a little story about a friend of mine named Jim Canoy, who lived down in Randolph County. I found some seed that he had sent me 6 years ago, and I sprouted them, and one kept coming along, and it was a strange-looking tomato, and I've come to find out it was a pepper.
Well, sir, learn something new every day.
I don't know what kind of pepper it is, but in fact, when Nels was out there, she said, that doesn't look like a tomato to me. And so I've got what I thought to be a Jim Canoy tomato is a Jim Canoy pepper of some kind.
Every time Nelson goes out to your place, she straightens you out about something.
About something, yeah. But she won't give up on that. I have Craig and Andre and Dan, I have an unusual plant. It's called a Vietnam Evergreen Maple. And Nelsa keeps insisting that it's something else.
I think she backed off this time.
Yeah, she backed off this time, but it does not lose its leaves. It has a bamboo-looking stem to it, but it's for certain evergreen.
It's got kind of crazy looking.
Yeah. Hey, Rufus, when that pepper starts to form, go gently, because you're not going to know if it's a sweet one or a hot one.
Oh, absolutely.
life's an adventure.
I know one thing. It's not a tomato.
Dan, does that help, or you got anything else?
No, you got me covered. Thank you all very much. Appreciate it. And
yes,
enjoying
sir.
The program.
Thank you so much for calling.
I know what I've got to do this afternoon. We're going to top some tomatoes with no guilt. No guilt.
Okay.
Right, because why lose the whole plant in the next rain? I like that explanation.
Do you have luck with tomatoes there near Mount Mitchell?
I actually am thrilled to be on the show today with Craig, because I've got tomato questions.
Good. All right. Go with it.
Go with it?
Yeah, okay, go ahead.
Great. I am not a tomato grower. I'm not a big vegetable grower. I am since I moved to the mountains, so that's about 4 years, 5 years. But best advice for a new nervous tomato grower. I have two plants this year.
Are you growing them in the ground or in the soil?
In a raised bed.
Raised bed. So my best advice for young tomato growers is don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid to keep them stress-free. So give them sufficient water. This whole thing about dry farming tomatoes and all that gets you is lots of blossom end rot. So, you know, a good balanced food in a raised bed, maybe every 2 or 3 weeks. Water them when they look dry. And if you see leaves with spots and speckles, get them off the plant pretty quickly. There are so many different fungal diseases that attack tomatoes. They're a lot like roses. So if you leave those speckled leaves on the plant, the spores just spread and get the rest of the plant and the other plant. So really the thing is just have fun and learn as much as you can. So next year you can grow twice as many, and then you're and on until you're like me and grow 150 a year and you become insane.
Well, I thought those were supposed to be fun.
I'm
we're talking about all this stress now.
It's
going crazy.
When it comes to peppers, I enjoy growing peppers, so at least they're sort of related, right? I don't know.
Well,
what's that about peppers? I didn't catch that.
I said I enjoy growing peppers because I one of the things I most love is a roasted, marinated roasted pepper.
Peppers are wonderful, and when you're go ahead.
I had a banner crop last year. I was still picking them after the hurricane, believe it or not, because they were raised. My garden didn't flood or anything. But I was roasting peppers on the grill because we didn't have electricity for a long time.
Good gracious!
Well, when people realize that peppers are not difficult to grow, they can get over the shock of paying $3 a piece in a grocery store for red pepper.
Exactly.
Right?
That's one of the primary reasons I grow them.
Well, speaking of peppers, let me ask you Craig, about... I grow... it's sharecropping. I'm the person that grows in my brother-in-law makes knockoff Tabasco sauce, and I grow Tabasco peppers. I cannot get them they barely make it before the first frost, and I don't care how early I put them out, how big they are, the frost gets a bunch of them. I don't know how to speed that up any.
They're a native Louisiana strain. It's a Capsicum frucescens, and it's really a pretty rare pepper. And the seed is just accustomed to growing in hot areas. So the best thing to be would be to start that plant really early, maybe put it out early with a wall of water or coverings around it. Get that plant as big as it can be by the time, you've got your last frost. And maybe grow it in a place near a brick wall where the bricks are going to absorb a lot of heat and that will reflect on the plant. I'd also use a black container, because what you want is the sun's rays to be absorbed by the container, which will heat the roots and will push the pepper along a little bit faster. And if you do just a few of those things, you'll get some peppers before frost.
Good advice.
All right, we'll take a quick break and be back with more of The Weekend Gardener here on WPTF. we're back. Boy, we're quickly running out of time. Craig, give us folks who are growing tomatoes, whether they've been growing them a while or new to them, like Andrea, a little nervous about dealing with tomatoes because I guess they are, you know, a lot of people consider them hard to grow and to have good success. Give us some pointers.
Yeah, well, the first is just relax and enjoy the experience. Yeah. And I like to tell gardeners that for a crop like tomatoes or, you know, even a crop like roses where things are a little tricky, get to enjoy the journey along the way and don't get so focused on the destination because even the most experienced, I'm not going to say the best gardeners because we're all amateurs at this, really, but the most experienced gardeners will experience maybe one or two great years out of 10, three or four pretty good ones, and we all have some unmitigated disasters. And it could be hail, it could be disease, it could be critters that move in. Keep the plants watered, grow them in as much sun as you have in your yard. If they're tall growing varieties, give them some sort of support. It could be a stake or a cage, cattle panels, but keep them off the ground. Mulch really well so that, you know, all this rain we get doesn't splash dirt onto the lower leaves. That's the fastest way that disease can start on the bottom part of the plant. And if a plant looks really bad, you know, bite the bullet and take it out and then realize that there's probably something in that area of the garden in the ground that doesn't like tomato plants and maybe rotate away from that. But really, it's an enjoyable thing. Well, the other big advice, get out there and be with your plants as often as you can. And it always reminds me of a story when we sold seedlings. We had a repeat customer come back that said, you know, your plants didn't do well for us last year. And I said, you know, I always feel bad about this. I'll give you some plants. They said, yeah, you know, we planted them and we went on a cruise for 2 months and we came back. We couldn't find the plants. And so I said, well, you know, tomato plants aren't like growing a redbud tree or, you know, or a hydrangea. They really like you, not necessarily to sing to them, but walk around, get accustomed to what they look like when they're healthy and happy and watch for the hornworms and the, you know, the creepy crawlies and the bugs. And I think if you do that, in this world we live in, as much time as you can spend in the garden with the birds and away from TVs and cell phones, it'll just make your life a whole lot happier. So I think tomatoes can make you actually a really happy person.
Yeah. Well, Greg, this is apropos of the Cliff Joyner saying of the day, satisfaction lies in the effort, not in the attainment. How about that?
Yes, that's exactly right with gardening. Because it's a hobby for optimists, because if it doesn't work this year, you get the next year to do it. Now, all of us, are going to run out of that agreement at some point in our life. But, you know, I hope to squeeze another 30 gardens in and be out there poking around in the dirt when I'm 100. So
That'd
is
be
an
great.
Optimistic hobby.
What are some of the more traditionally reliable, if there is such a thing, tomato varieties?
You know, well, Dan said earlier, Better Boy. And
yeah.
That was actually the first tomato that I grew successfully in my first garden in 1981. We're talking a few hybrids now. Whopper is a really good one. Celebrity, they're all reliable. They're not going to give you the unique flavors of the heirlooms. But in that respect, Cherokee Purple, you really can't go wrong with. It seems to really like growing in this area. Brandywine, everybody talks about it, but it's a real challenge to grow. German Johnson is the only true North Carolina heirloom, and it's much beloved because of that. It's a pink tomato. And Sun Gold, which is a little orange cherry tomato that anytime anybody tastes it, claim it's their favorite tomato. So that's just a starter list of maybe a half a dozen not all that difficult varieties that people can start with. And anybody can email me anytime, and, you know, except I need to send an apology to our friend Tom Campbell, that I've been really remiss of answering emails since Eli popped into the world, and I'm exhausted at night.
I understand that.
I owe a lot of people a lot of email responses, but typically I'm there to answer any question anybody has on. You know, you ask me a question on any topic, I'll sit around and give you an answer, even if I don't know what I'm talking about. So.
So you just, it's Craig LeHoulier, LeHoulier.com. Sharing the joys of gardening, past, present, and future. And, of course, your books are still available, Epic Tomatoes. Yep. Tom, it's no telling how many copies Tom Campbell has purchased. for friends, relatives, he is a true believer.
Yeah. I was going to mention to Andrea, last year the Buncombe County Master Gardeners Conference was canceled because of Helene, but yeah. I'm going to be speaking at this year's in Hendersonville. I think it's October 6th or the 8th, and it's the last thing I'm going to do before I get my left knee replaced, so I'm going to enjoy every second of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, that'll...
All right. I'm sure we'll enjoy it as well. My fellow master gardeners have gone to that. I've not been yet, but a couple of folks have. And we love the Buncombe master gardeners.
If you come down and join, make sure you say hello. I think everybody's chomping at the bit because they had to miss it last year, so I think it's going to be a really good event this year.
Yes, I'm sure.
Now, you also do, now you mentioned the minute, mm-hmm. the minute program you do, but you take us on a tour. Is it Thursdays?
I'm doing Fridays. Afternoons at either 3 or 4 o'clock. I spend 45 minutes, and it's my weekly Instagram live where I do tour the garden and then sit and take. I'll usually ask those who are online a few questions they can answer, and I'll read those off, and then I just take any questions people ask. But it's a way to kind of see how progress happens week by week snapshots, and it gives you an appreciation for how fast plants grow when they're happy and it's nice and warm and cozy outside. So I'm at NC Tomato Man on Instagram. That's my primary means of communicating right now, aside from email. And if people miss them, I save them all on the Reels tab, going all the way back to 2020 with the COVID years, which is when I started doing it. So, but mostly, guys, Rufus and Andrea and Mike, it's such a treat to join the show. And I'll be tapping you on the shoulder to come back again at some point. You tap me anytime you feel like I can be
helpful. Yeah, you're welcome every week, any week. To join
us. That's very kind. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, we love the information, and it is so helpful. So do you still, I know on Saturdays you quite often go to a farmer's market nearby. Do you still do that?
Yeah, well, that's where we're going to be off to after this. Like I had said earlier, we're right at the end of asparagus, and we're right at the end of the South Carolina strawberries. But there should be some North Carolina strawberries showing up. And then there's a blueberry U-pick down the road that's already open, some early varieties. So, this is the time of year to eat well, which I don't do 12 months of the year.
Yeah, me neither.
I try to take advantage of the produce.
The peaches, I've had peaches from the State Farmers Market a couple of times, and they are some of the best. I mean, they're like...
Yep.
It's just incredible.
Well, Craig, keep up with the Rufus tomato. I'm very anxious to know what it tastes like.
That's why I'm going to send you a few, my friend. That way,
I don't know how you propose to do that, but I'm
Brink's truck
anxiously awaiting.
Well, you'll have to let me know if you're going to be dialing in the particular week. Should I send them to your house or should I send them to the station where you can all sample them? So we'll get to that in about a month and a half which is when they should be about ready.
All right, we'll have to have you on the show for that occasion, and we can work it out. So keep me informed about that.
I will.
Well, fantastic. So, do you have a knee operation? What else do you have going on? We got a little less than a minute.
Yeah. No, it's you know, the third book still isn't written, so I figured having a knee, having being stuck in bed with a rehabilitating knee is when I'm going to bring my laptop in and finally get to it. So that will be a fall project.
Give us a little preview of the third book. What is that one focused on?
It's really going to tell the whole story of our dwarf tomato breeding project. And we now have 168 varieties that are in seed companies, and I think we'll hit 200 by the time we're done, but it's time to tell the story about it. I am going to self-publish it because I think it is very much a niche topic, but...
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Craig.
Yeah. Well, you guys, Andrea, it's nice to meet you. Nice to talk to you, and you all have a great day.
You
and,
too.
Send anybody my way if they have questions.
We'll be back. Thanks very much, okay. Craig. We'll be back. Bye. Talk to you soon.